We encourage everyone to remain in the auditorium during the entire program so as not to miss any of the fine instruction that has been prepared. To please Jehovah, we must be completely loyal to Him. What does this involve? What practical steps can we take to safeguard our loyalty? The first symposium at this convention will answer these questions. Brother Darcy MacDonald, an elder in the Roslyn Congregation in Edmonton, will begin this three-part symposium with the talk, Maintain Loyalty in Thought. Each speaker will then introduce the one to follow.
We've just learned how important it is to give loyalty to Jehovah, how deserving He is of our loyalty. Once we've established a record of loyalty to Jehovah, the next question is, how do we maintain that loyalty? That loyalty involves our entire person. We've heard this morning already, our loyalty to Jehovah is motivated by our love for Him. So this symposium is going to consider how we can maintain our loyalty to Jehovah in the following three ways: in thought, in word, and in action. It's important for us to understand from where does disloyalty come from. We can look at some examples in the Bible. The perfect angel, who became Satan, allowed improper thoughts to consume him. Now, that's a sweeping statement. How do we know what Satan was thinking? Well, take out your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 8 and verse 44. In John 8 and 44, it says, "You are from your father the devil, and you wish to do the desires of your father. That one was a murderer when he began. And notice, he did not stand fast in the truth, because truth is not in him." What does this scripture lead us to conclude? It leads us to conclude that at one point, Satan was in the truth, but that he allowed wrong desires to develop, and he cultivated a disposition toward untruth. In fact, in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, Satan was guilty of being tried, drawn out, and enticed by his own desire. So, at the time he told the first lie to Eve, this wasn't something that happened suddenly. He must have been disloyal in thought before telling the first lie. What about Eve? Let's look at her example in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Take out your Bibles, please, and turn there with me. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 starts out with a very interesting word. It says, "Consequently, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was something desirable to the eyes. Yes, the tree was pleasing to look at, so she began taking of its fruit and eating it." What does that word "consequently" mean? It means as a result of. So as a result of her disloyal thoughts, she took and ate the fruit. And she had no reason to eat fruit from that tree. She lived in a garden filled with everything she needed. She had plenty of food. She had every reason to be loyal to her provider. Now let's look at another example in Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Here we are encouraged to do this. Keep this mental attitude in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he was existing in God's form, gave no consideration to a seizure, namely that he should be equal to God. So in contrast to both Satan and Eve, Jesus gave no consideration. He didn't allow that thought to develop in being equal to God. His mental attitude, as it mentions in verse 5, was one of loyalty. Now, if intelligent, perfect creatures face the test of loyalty in thought, how much more so must we as imperfect humans? How can we, though? How can we maintain loyalty in thought? Well, having wrong thoughts cross our minds from time to time is unavoidable. But we can exercise tight control over what we allow ourselves to continue to dwell on. Let's look in our Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. This is a key scripture in our discussion for this part of the symposium. It says, "For we are overturning reasonings and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are bringing every thought into captivity to make it obedient to the Christ." Now, keep your Bible open here for a moment, and let's look at that. Bringing every thought into captivity. What does that mean? Well, in this verse, the illustration was drawn from the ancient practice of conquerors of a land taking captives in that land. Those captives became subject to the conqueror. In some cases, they had to pay tribute. They had to swear loyalty. In other cases, the conquerors even went so far as killing the captives of the land. But in every case, the conqueror had control over the captive. So how can we conquer wrong thoughts? One thing we could do is pray. And why is prayer considered so important in maintaining our loyalty? Because we should ask ourselves, would I hesitate to call for help when facing an emergency? No. Then why would I hesitate to pray when I find wrong thoughts crossing my mind? We could also read the Bible. By doing so, what kind of thoughts are we introducing into our minds? We're filling our minds with God's thoughts. When improper thoughts do cross our minds, do we dismiss them or do we dwell on them? So another key method to avoid improper thoughts is to dismiss them quickly when they do cross our minds. If wrong thoughts are permitted to linger, it's very likely they'll just grow stronger and stronger. Finally, filling our mind with wholesome thoughts is a good insurance against allowing improper thoughts into our minds. Let's look at the scripture in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 together. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It reads this way. "Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are of serious concern, whatever things are righteous, whatever things are chaste, whatever things are lovable, whatever things are well spoken of, whatever things are virtuous, and whatever things are praiseworthy, continue considering these things." And if you look at the footnote there in verse 8, it says, "Continue thinking about or meditating on these things." When we exert ourselves in this manner to conquer wrong thoughts, the meditation of our heart will no doubt become pleasing to Jehovah. The Bible contains good examples of those who were loyal in thought and examples of those who were not. Let's look at some examples in the Bible. For instance, King David. King Saul did very little to inspire deeds of loyalty from David. He tried to kill him on a number of occasions. But how did David react to an opportunity to kill Saul? Let's look in our Bibles at 1 Samuel 26 and verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 11. This is David's clear response to the improper thought that he should get even, as it were, with Saul. He said, "It is unthinkable from Jehovah's standpoint for me to lift my hand against the anointed of Jehovah." Unthinkable. David wouldn't even allow that thought to cross his mind. He was loyal in thought, both to Saul and to Jehovah. What about the account of Barak, Jeremiah's secretary? Let's look in Jeremiah chapter 45, and we'll read verses 1 to 5. Jeremiah 45, verses 1 to 5. It says, "This is the word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Barak, the son of Neriah, when he wrote in a book these words dictated by Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, the king of Judah. This is what Jehovah the God of Israel says concerning you, Barak. You have said, 'Woe to me, for Jehovah has added grief to my pain. I am weary for my groaning, and I have found no resting place.'" Yes, he allowed these disloyal thoughts to develop in his mind. Look what it says further. "You should say to him, 'This is what Jehovah says. Look, what I have built up I am tearing down, and what I have planted I am uprooting, the entire land. But you are seeking great things for yourself. Stop seeking such things. For I am about to bring a calamity on all flesh, declares Jehovah. And wherever you may go, I will grant you your life as a spoil.'" Barak accepted the counsel, changed his thinking, put these thoughts out of his mind. He controlled these thoughts, and this preserved his life. Asaph, the writer of the 73rd Psalm, or perhaps one of his descendants as a writer of the 73rd Psalm, had a little bit of difficulty too in allowing wrong thoughts into his mind. He became envious. He became envious of the wicked. He could see the wicked living contented lives. He could see the wicked not experiencing any adverse consequences. Yes, he became envious of the wicked. However, eventually he brought his thoughts into captivity. Let's look at how he did that in the 73rd Psalm, Psalm 73, verses 22 to 24. Psalm 73, verses 22 to 24. He says, "You guide me with your advice, and afterwards you will lead me to glory. Whom do I have in the heavens? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth." I started at verse 22. "I was unreasoning and I lacked understanding. I was like a senseless beast before you. But now I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand." He brought his thoughts into captivity, and he eventually came to understand what was in store for the wicked, that Jehovah would ultimately set matters straight. Jehovah protects and rewards a loyal person, even though other persons, other humans, may not perceive his loyalty. In the following dramatization, note how our Christian sister has prepared herself to remain loyal in thought.
Mom, something's burning.
Got it. Did you brush your teeth yet?
Aw, Mom.
No, Mom, we're running late. Come on, go brush your teeth. Aiden, are you dressed? Come here, baby. Your shirt is inside out, Aiden. Madison, we gotta be out the door in 5 minutes. Other arm. We good? Okay, now one more time. What did we learn from what we read today in the Daily Text?
It was about Asaph, right?
Very good, and?
We don't want to envy people that don't love Jehovah.
Very good, so question. When kids at school do things that look like fun, but we know that Jehovah doesn't like, what should we do?
Pray.
Perfect, you're so smart. Okay, come on, let's go to the train.
There are 5 more rooms to clean, the ones that are circled.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks.
Sure.
Hey, Heather.
Hey, Simone. I just made some tea. Would you like some?
Yes. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. How's your day going?
Good. Did you see Laura's pictures?
No. Pictures of what?
Her vacation. She looks so nice.
That's great.
Oh, did I tell you I'm going away too?
Where are you going?
My boyfriend bought me an all-inclusive vacation package.
An island retreat sounds really great right now.
Yeah, are you going anywhere? Taking any trips?
No, you know, with the kids, I can't really afford to do much.
Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, sure. Sometimes I just feel so trapped. I know I need to keep my life simple and stay focused on spiritual things, but it just seems like I'm constantly seeing others around me being rewarded with nice things. And I just feel forgotten. When we discussed the text this morning on envy, I never thought I'd be applying it to myself. For I became envious when I would see the peace of the wicked. What did Aiden say Asaph did to overcome his envy? But as for me, drawing near to God is good for me. I have made the Sovereign Lord Jehovah my refuge. That's right, he prayed, and that's exactly what I need to do.
Even though we are imperfect, we can be loyal to God in thought. And we can also be confident that Jehovah appreciates our loyalty even before it's expressed in word and deed.